You're not allowed in the podcast. We already got upstaged.
And as Laura wanders off to make a point and John stuffs crackers into his mouth, we are back with the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. We are back on Doctor Who. We can only apologise to our loyal listeners who were expecting this episode when the last episode dropped, and they didn't get that. No, they got something for which we can only apologise for, and I don't think we'll ever, ever win back their trust again.
Like a cat. You're catching the vet.
Yeah, exactly. That is
waiting now.
That is the equivalent of taking the cat to the vet and then it all goes to shit. Oh, you missed, you twat. Right. Sorry, the Sunderland game's on in the background. We are back, and over there stuffing crackers in his mouth is John.
Hello.
Hiding in the background is Morgan.
She's away
getting more crackers. And just wondering what the hell's going on. And on her 17th Skype account of the week, it's Laura.
Hi, I just want to confirm that Crackers is not the name of your cat.
That's an important point, well made. Yes, he's not stuffing his cat in his mouth, that we can see at this point. When last we met, we didn't do Doctor Who, we did The Unspeakable. And let's never talk about that again. But we're back, and Capaldi's back, and it's Doctor Who, and it's, I believe, Heaven Sent?
It is Heaven Sent.
Which, by all accounts, is a good episode, I'm told.
It's all right, as far as I remember.
At this point, I feel we ought to say hello to our single loyal listener, Katie.
Hello, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Who has things she would like to raise through the course of the episode. It is beholden upon me to try and spot when they turn up and then remember to actually mention them.
Katie had her notepad while she was listening to the last one, kind of going,
oh. Yeah, I worry that she, A, will never trust us again, and B, is still sitting there waiting for Capaldi to turn up.
Oh, bless. It wasn't that bad last week, was it?
I don't remember.
No. All I remember was knowing it was going to be terrible and finding out we were wrong, it was worse than that. And it was
some say that the song is still going at the end.
I suspect it probably
end
is.
Of the film.
A bit I liked best was when I got to the end, because I did actually edit quite a lot out at the beginning, but I left most of the crap in the middle. And when we got right to the end was finding out that whoever edited that file got as far as blaming the director and then cut it because they couldn't take any more, which I just thought was absolutely beautiful. Right, how have we all been? Are we all okay? Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at the moment. So let's just press buttons. So how far from the end are we now?
The end of the series or the end of Capaldi?
The end of life as we know it.
End of the series, this episode, followed by Hellbent. End of Capaldi, there's two Christmas episodes and a full series of 12. And another Christmas special.
Is this not the one that's got two Christmas specials?
Yeah, this is. There's two Christmas specials, then series 10 and then...
Did you say that already? So there's these two episodes, two Christmas specials, and then another 13 episodes.
Oh,
so there's still 17 Capaldis left.
There's 17 Capaldis left. Can you imagine?
Yeah, if we're using Capaldi as a unit of time now.
We are, yes.
Should.
I think we are beholden to do such a thing because that is the only way to measure reasonable time.
It's difficult though because, like early Capaldi dragged a lot more than late Capaldi did.
But in a way, isn't that very much like time itself? That in your younger days,
your youth appears to go very, very slowly
but you hit a point because like days used to drag as a kid, but right now I may be going through a period of time where Friday comes around and I can't remember what happened. I'm sure I woke up one morning, it was Monday, I wake up again, it's Friday, and apparently the week in the middle happened. I don't remember it. I don't think that's the drinking. I think that's too many Capaldis.
No, Camparis.
Oh, that was it. I get the two confused.
I'm just actually, doing some as I call this research, but it's just a cheap attempt at a gag. I'm doing right now. When you were talking about, yes, here we go. Right, I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but when you said early Capaldi, kind of dragged in. I just had to go back to Peter Capaldi appearing as Marilyn Monroe in Prime Suspect. It was a really kind of rubbish, tenuous link, but early Capaldi, 20 years ago, Prime Suspect.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi played a drag act in Prime Suspect. I was thinking, was it Prime Suspect or was it Cracker? I had to go and do a double check.
Because, of course, you forget that Prime Suspect was kind of the line of duty of its day, wasn't it? Mm. Everyone watched Prime Suspect at the time.
Morgan actually went, yep, uh-huh. Despite the fact that she's never seen Prime Suspect or Line of Duty.
Hang on, Prime Suspect
and
was done...
doesn't even know what a drag act is either, to be honest. She's not ticking any boxes here at all.
But Prime Suspect was done and dusted long before Morgan even arrived on the planet. It's in a pre-Morgan era.
Pretty much. I'm just.
And now we're using Morgan as a unit of time. How many Morgans are there in a Capaldi?
13.
I couldn't have watched this yesterday.
You could have that. It's a fair point. You could have said, I bet you John is going to bring up DCI Jane Tennyson again.
I like the implication from Morgan there is we've been talking for so long, it is now the next day.
I know, absolutely. I'm actually concerned that there's going to be like some dystopian future in 1,000 years' time where they're referring to like it's 1,000 a.m., which is after Morgan.
You do realise in that dystopian future, Morgan is queen of the world.
Exactly. And she's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
some annoying immortal teenager.
There's a thought that would actually explain an awful lot about the futures you keep finding out about in sci-fi programs. They're all the disturbed nightmares of a dystopian teenager who's still alive.
Because the worst bit is that Scott's been locked up now for a long time.
Oh god.
Who wants an usurper?
He's just
been... there's a resistance group that's trying to free Scott and they have to put one in.
The poor bastard's just been stuck in the tower watching The Incredibles 2 on a loop.
I'm dressed as a jester.
I'm going to hashtag free Scott after this. I am. Right, okay.
Television
with
the cat.
Yep, yes.
That's
it. Any listeners, this is a shit you have to deal with for the next 1,000 years.
I mean, technically, I'm also watching TV with the cat as he's currently sitting there on his bed in front of the TV wondering why people are talking but he can't see anyone and wondering what all the fuss is about. And who the hell's Morgan and why is she in charge of the world when he knows it's him?
Away yet because
you
can hear me.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, while this bright screen is burning into my retinas, should we have a spirited crack at getting through this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Ooh. While I'm still young and useful.
One, by the way, in case anyone's wondering.
I guess, for our Patreon subscribers, John's beer versus rum argument was won by the beer. For our Scottish listeners, I believe St Johnstone are the current kings of Scottish football, having done the cup double. Your Edinburgh companions are bemoaning the fact that Hibs lost again. I think.
Can't indeed get a haircut. Morgan just noticed you got a haircut.
Well, you'd have noticed last week if you'd been here, suffering with the rest of us, but no, you had friends.
She just knew.
Yes, I've got better things to do than watch cats, said Morgan. So have we said, but we watched the fucking thing anyway. Right, anyway. Let's not bring that up again. Memories. Right, are we all teed up and ready for the 54 minutes this episode?
54 minutes.
well, what the hell's going to be going off 54 minutes?
Part of the reason why I thought, yeah, we can split it. Yeah,
very wise. Very wise.
So that's 7 cents, and the next episode's called Get Ben.
Which is 2.5 hours of people going, that last thing went on
for 2.5 hours of John Travolta.
Oh God, what's happened?
To cut out, and I don't know if I should say it now because then it'll be a double cut.
Well, we talked over it. If you wanted to just let it slide, let it go.
Right, okay, you need to listen back, and if you can hear it, then you delete it.
I'll listen back. Bless you. You learnt nothing over the last year. Right. So we are all teed up for Heaven Bent, or whatever it's called. Are we all set, children?
Let's do it.
In that case, dear listener, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through in the politest possible way. We have been specifically asked, and I'm quoting directly, no poop talking about this episode, because no one wants a stern word from Katie. And we are good to go in 3, 2, 1, and play.
Oh, so Katie's a fan of this episode, then?
Massive.
As okay, in, cool.
Massive fan. I'm not making it.
Yeah, cocks.
Steady. It's all very moody.
What are you doing, John?
I am taping some.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
That can't go well.
But let's make sure that that didn't appear.
Understood.
I mean, I didn't teach her that.
Wow, you say that. She had to learn it from somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but she lives in East End of Glasgow.
Oh, that's true.
Speaking of which, and I know I've detracted from us, I was at a real actual live gig on Thursday.
A what?
A live gig. I was outside watching comedy with people that I could touch, but I wasn't allowed to.
But that's, but to be fair, you're not allowed to touch people anyway. There's that whole court order. So, who are you watching?
I was watching Des McLean and Susan McCabe.
Ooh, nice.
Yep.
Oh, God, that's like me every morning.
Watching Susan McCabe? Do you watch Susan McCabe? That? Apparently, Laura watches Susan McCabe every morning.
And they mentioned a really nice story about the old comedy gig that I used to do. And I thought, you know, it doesn't matter if you're funny for the rest of the gig. Quite happy.
What, why is Morgan covering her entire face?
Because I suggested she should.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, back to the episode. Where are we? What's going on?
Okay, so the Doctor got transported at the end of the last episode. Clara is dead. There's some sand.
There is indeed sand.
That's to denote the sands of time.
Those are human ashes.
Morgan!
Is.
Fucking hell. No. Just for anyone that's not seen this episode. You do ruin everything. You've ruined my life.
Oh, bless you.
That place does need a damn good hoovering.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. It's almost as if I live there. Morgan hasn't ruined anybody's life. Morgan makes your life better. I can say that. I don't live with her.
She hasn't ruined my life. She's enhanced my life.
How bad was it before? Oh, it's a good old Stephen Moffat episode, which means it won't make any sense.
Yeah. By showing. Turned up. Such an idiot.
I want to know where this is filmed. I'd quite like to go.
It would be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Just imagine if you put on the commentary for The Usual Suspects and you're sitting watching it. But you should never listen to a commentary if you're watching something for the first time. You put on the commentary for The Usual Suspects, you go in, first scene, you just get Brian,
Brian Singer.
Brian Singer.
Brian Singer. Yeah, I knew it was a Brian. I was thinking Brian De Palma, but then I realised he's not a pest. So Brian Singer. Brian, 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 Harvey, Bryan Singer, Bryan, maybe it is, I don't know. Maybe it's something to, but Bryan Singer comes on, well, maybe on the commentary. Bryan Singer on the commentary, first thing he says was, Kaiser Soze.
That would slightly take away the edge, wouldn't it?
I'd quite like Bryan Singer just appear at the start of the film and just say, Kaiser Soze, and then just walk off.
Do you know
and
what?
That's it.
I think he'd have done less harm to his career
doing that
than he went on to do.
He should actually do that at the beginning of every one of his films. You get really confused watching X-Men.
Just Kaiser Soze.
I thought that was Magneto.
Nope. So we got the shovel.
Unfortunately, all the films in my head that I was going to start coming out with ideas for twists, all for some strange reason have got Kevin Spacey in them. And I just thought, and then I decided to go for the one that has Kevin Spacey
and Bryan Singer. Just go for the double whammy. I mean, if you can get one that was
Kevin Spacey,
if you can get a Kevin Spacey film directed by Bryan Singer and produced by Harvey Weinstein, I think you win. You get a full house. It's bingo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that. Anyway, we'll take this offline. I'm trying to think if Weinstein had anything to do with The Usual Suspects.
I don't think he did, but I could be wrong.
He definitely was one of The Usual Suspects.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember? He does recognize who that figure is, doesn't he? I can't remember.
There's a sort of recognition.
Suddenly have a certain air of terrified.
Yeah, he's definitely got some sort of race memory, I think, if you will, where he knows that he should be kind of...
Am I getting nervous?
Are you scared?
I mean, the footsteps are getting louder. That thing is going very, very slowly, and just a second ago it was over the other side of the building, and it's established later on that this building is very big.
Yep.
It's Michael Myers syndrome, isn't it? It's like he's just slowly walking after you. You're running for your life, sort of thing. And then you run round the corner and he's just walking quite slowly with his knife in hand. And you go, do you know what? I've got this. I'm out of here. And then suddenly he's behind you and he stabs you. And that's because whenever you don't see Michael Myers, he just kind of goes...
I think this is another episode which does underline the point that Capaldi should never be made to run anywhere.
Well, that was, I'm sure I've mentioned this before.
You have.
That was one of the things that Stephen Moffat, all right. Okay, fine, I'm running out of material.
But it was you saying about it that made me think about it. Oh, dear. You're right.
Morgan thinks my impression of Michael Myers running there, which obviously nobody could see because this is an audio medium, what it looked like when SpongeBob's late for work. There we go.
When he's running.
Hang on, are we suggesting here that SpongeBob was actually Michael Myers?
Yes.
That changes the films.
He's neither seen any of the Halloween films or an episode of SpongeBob.
What's
the most name? That's a
callback. This is
Morgan's got a future in comedy.
Hey, that's more than we have. What's with all the flies? I know I should probably know. But... Also, hang on, what year did this come out?
2015.
So they're already ripping off Rowling's Dementors, which ripped off Tolkien.
Well, the moving castle walls from effectively from Cube.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Which was 1998.
Yep.
I think they're ripping off the TV show Nightmare.
Oh, they're definitely doing that.
Which was 1987. Can we find any other references even earlier?
Walk forward.
No, left. Left a bit. Sorry.
Enter, stranger. No.
Oh, he's gone.
Just remember that you should never use the phrase enter, stranger.
It was a different time.
Need to get to know them first. And request that it's okay to do so.
Do not enter,
Ginger. Oh, that's a twist. Didn't see that coming.
Wouldn't it be great if they get really bad artists in and you said, who was that supposed to be? Was that Donna? Yeah.
That'd have been so much better.
Was that Adric?
Yeah, but imagine if that was the case. And I know that this is a lot to do with the Doctor's grief. In terms of the guilt about Clara, which kind of leads into the next episode and everything else. But imagine if it just got here and it was just randomly Martha.
Oh, that'd be superb, wouldn't it?
It's just Martha. What the fuck are you?
Imagine Daddy Pink. Fuck's sake.
I'd like to go one episode of this era of not mentioning Danny Pink.
I would love it if they just had a subtle reference to Eric Roberts' Master in every episode of season 9 for no reason.
Oh, that would be superb.
there's this big deck depending on this Eric Roberts.
Has he done anything in recent times, or has his career hit the skids as well?
Eric Roberts?
Yeah.
Master audio is for Big Finish. Despite the fact that there's no real place to put them in the continuity.
I did not know that. Fair play.
There's an intruder in the house.
There's a ghost in my house.
I would just, if I ever become the showrunner of Doctor Who, I'm going to end. I mean, it's possible now that Chibnall's doing it, anything's possible. Right, but if I was to do it just out of the blue, I would just bring Eric Roberts back as a kind of cliffhanger at the end of an episode. Oh, and you know what? I would bring Eric Roberts back as a cliffhanger for the end of the episode, and then the next episode is not even
ready. That's a big old drop.
Is there?
How did he know his TARDIS was there?
Because
he wouldn't have known from everything where everything was which window he was jumping out of.
He is this not just his memory palace or some shit, Stephen Moffat?
Yeah. This is trying to incorporate Sherlock, but not incorporating Sherlock.
Ah, right. It's kind of a weird world, isn't it, where you need to know what other TV work Moffat has done to start joining the dots.
Oh yeah, there's an episode of Press Gang just like this.
I had seen that.
You keep killing Dexter.
I miss Press Gang. That was a good show, that.
Press Gang was good.
I mean, it's where they got the idea of regenerating Dominic Diamond into Dexter Fletcher in Games Master, to be fair, so. It's all linked.
Yep.
But Games Master did the thing where they realised that they'd made a mistake and they were less popular, so just regenerated them back again.
Degenerated.
Don't give them that idea. Although if they do that, you realise that we get Peter Capaldi back in 2 years.
I was not listening.
You're falling quite a while.
There's a lot of falling going on.
Andy seems to just be falling at the same bit.
He's going skydiving.
Every time you see him falling kind of top down, he's like just gone past those kind of bridges. I mean, there could be infinite bridges, but I don't know.
Let's
not run
it.
So this is kind of... This is almost akin to Moffat trying to do an episode of Lost, where he's trying to make elaborate, timey, loopy things going round and things mattering, and it all doesn't matter at all.
See if you're actually the head writer of a time travel show that's pretty much embedded in the kind of public kind of mindset, and you're then starting to look at TV shows like Lost to come up with an interpretation of how time travel works. Possibly time to move on.
I would agree with that. I think we're about to come to one of Katie's points.
Okay.
Katie's points.
I'm liking this as a regular feature. Where did that suit come from that he puts on because he's all wet after getting out of the sea? It shouldn't exist.
That's not quite yet.
Oh, is that not yet? There was water.
That's not quite yet.
There was water. And there was water. Look.
That's worse than Morgan's spoiler.
Water. Look, water. How am I supposed to know that's not the point that she's talking about? I mean, I don't know if her points are in chronological order because it's a time-travelling show, so they might be in completely random order. She might have met these points at a different time.
Yeah. you might come back and go, why did Eccleston leave after season one? What?
That's a very good question, and one I think we've now answered.
I've already forgotten Laura's really cool theme. And I just went, dee, 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 which...
Yeah, pretty much that's what I did as well. So yep.
I know, but you sounded more melodic.
I'm going up. I'm some intruder.
Probably want to wake up.
Not yeah, good. Back now.
Right, so Capaldi's now in the water. What's your question?
Something about the soup being dry.
Yeah, it's still not for a bit.
Ah,
all right.
Few skulls there.
Yeah, that's a bit of a scully thing, isn't it?
Which, when you know the end of the episode, is really quite morbid.
Yeah, Morgan just asked if those were marshmallows under there.
Yeah, the marshmallows.
Clearly, you've never amassed a large amount of marshmallows under a body of water because.
What would actually happen? Would they just expand?
Well, they end up looking like skulls. Now can we ask the question? Because that suit is dry and his hair is wet. And that is a very valid point.
No.
Oh.
I think that...
Now you can.
Head first.
Even if it went in head first, it'd still be wet.
There you go.
Here we are. Yes, so he's drying his suit that got wet. Well, it wasn't wet. So where did he get his spare suit from?
Oh, they actually do explain that, don't they? Did they not get a spare suit because the... I can't explain it here.
No, you can't, not till the end.
Yeah, but they do actually explain where they got his suit from.
Oh.
How weird a twist is that? You know, you're like looking back at a TV show and you said, where did he get his clothes from?
I remember where.
Right, well, don't. TK Maxx. There you go, there's Morgan's answer. TK Maxx.
That's not from TK Maxx.
That's not from TK Maxx. If it's TK Maxx, then... Well, to be fair, if you've ever been shopping in TK Maxx, in Glasgow, anyway, I don't know what TK Maxx is, Maxi, Maxi's are like in our places, but it is quite eclectic.
It is
possibly possible to get yourself a Doctor Ensemble.
It is, without a shadow of a doubt.
TK Maxx, want that cash for announcing your shop into the wide, big, wide world?
I didn't understand.
Not a word. I do love the fact that over here we have TK Maxx, but in America it's a completely different brand.
It's
TJ.
TJ Maxx, yeah. With the same logo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they really outthought that one, didn't they?
Is that like when Marathon changed to Snickers?
It's arguably not even that sensical, because why would you just change one letter? Why could America not cope with TK, or could we not cope with TJ? I mean, you think America couldn't have TJ because of Hooker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't want to be promoting that.
No, not at all.
But I'll just say that it could be something to do with the British racist organisation called the JJJ.
That could be the problem. Yes, that could have done it. I mean, obviously, I do like TK Maxx as a store, but the one in Ipswich used to be absolutely hilarious. It was effectively a jumble sale because the staff didn't trouble themselves with putting things back on shelves, and the customers just went hell for leather. And
didn't trouble themselves in putting anything back on shelves either.
No.
So they just go, wah!
Yeah. So basically, you're going in there looking for a pair of jeans, and you're best off starting in homeware because you might find one a pair among the saucepans and then just work backwards.
I think the thing that confuses me most about TK Maxx is the fact that it's just clearly the most disorganised mess you've ever been in.
Yeah.
Right? You go and you just... If I go into TK Maxx, I need to know what I'm looking for, or else I'm trapped there for pretty much. Like, I'm pretty much like Peter Capaldi in this episode. Just like, oh, where the fuck am I? Right?
Yeah.
But so you've got this kind of disorganized mess.
Are you a security guard?
What's that?
Are you just trying to escape a security guard when you're in TK Maxx? What are you trying to tell us here?
It's notoriously difficult to shoplift in TK Maxx. It's a big, because, you know, if you walk in with normal clothes, you walk out dressed like a clown, and you can probably snuck stuff out.
Or you bought a clown outfit, because remember, they're eclectic, they sell those too.
Yep. I just want them to update their advertising slogan to, no, we haven't heard of these designer labels either.
But TK, admittedly, some of my best clothes have come from TK Maxx. You can either treat that as a mark of honour or...
I'm not clothed, sis. Some of my best clothes have come from TK
Maxx. And they also do some really cool kind of off-the-wall stuff.
Oh, like they do.
Oh, do you know, I managed to get on body weight and jelly beans.
Yeah.
So you do stuff like that. But the thing that confuses me most about TK Maxx is it's just kind of that crazy stuff, really weird off-brand stuff. And then they do this weird things like, oh, we've currently managed to get this designer brand in that was designed by Lily Allen. Yeah. Kind of going, why did Lily Allen decide that TK Maxx was her kind of go-to show.
You know, well, I think that largely says everything about the fact that no one actually bought Lily Allen's range, so it ended up...
Because they couldn't find it.
No.
Because it was exclusive to TK Maxx. Nobody's wearing it.
Little known fact.
Did they actually design anything?
Little known fact, this is now how Kew Garden looks after lockdown.
Oh, God, that was a horrible laugh.
That really was, wasn't it?
Sorry.
Nothing says, yes, boss. that was your best hench person laughter.
I'm going to be quite...
Bloody cameras everywhere.
I'm going to be quite controversial here. We've talked about kind of Capaldi's hair journey. I think this is optimum Capaldi here.
It is, totally. This is Capaldi hair at its best hairist.
Yeah,
before it's almost like he washes it and it's just been blown drying and then it's just fluffy.
Yep.
Fluffy mullets until the end of the series.
Yep.
This is equivalent of me doing stand up, right? So you've got the stuff that's in the you've got Capaldi's hair journey at the beginning.
Oh right, I thought you meant the digging the holes around
my
eyes.
I'm not entirely sure where we're going with this.
Just digging a hole that you're never gonna get out of.
I like it. We've got this bit which is the optimum bit, and unfortunately we're only 2/3 of the way through. And the bit that most people would traditionally consider the punchline, people kinda go, yeah, you just took that too far, John. I mean, this would have been a cracking set if you'd finished it 3 minutes ago. You just rambled. So my comedy journey is Capaldi's hair. If you'd only just stop doing what you were doing about 2/3 of the way through, there might have been something there.
But to be fair, I mean that's every comedy set you've ever done.
Yeah,
and by 2/3 of your set they mean you saying hello, I'm John Carruthers. Let me tell you something about me, and that's it. It all goes wrong.
I'm emceeing a gig on Sunday night as well. I should advertise. I'm just going to start advertising my gigs here because by the time this actually airs, it's already done.
Yep.
So I'm not going to get anybody else watching. Just to let you know that I'm emceeing a gig on the 23rd of May. For you guys that are listening already, that's past. You missed it. It was an absolute fucking cracker.
That's time travel.
Yep. You really missed it. I would go as far as to say it was one of my best shows yet. Sorry you missed it.
I mean, you really are like status quo. You've gone on too long. You keep saying you've retired and then you end up working again.
I know. I'm fine with it.
And you've only got three jokes.
When it comes to actually doing live, like out there live gigs again, I'll retire.
Well, I've got one Monday, one Thursday, and I'm already feeling like that'll be it. I'm probably going to give it all up because I've had enough. I'm at that stage of things again.
What about the Glasgow Comedy Festival when we're not all going
to... Oh, that doesn't count. I'll do that.
All right. That doesn't count. That's not real comedy. That's Glasgow comedy.
Yeah, that's Glasgow comedy. That's completely different. How long has he been digging that tunnel? Well, I say tunnel, hole. And how's he managed?
It's been 84 years.
How's he managed to have it so the sides are that straight when he's down inside it? How's he got...
It's been 84 years.
No, I'm not having that. I've tried digging my own grave. You can never get the sides that straight.
Well, I'm going to sure have to say because it's 84 years. 74.
74. Any more? Any reduction on 74? Going once.
Going zero times. Going minus one.
And cheese.
And cheese?
Yeah, I'm just non-sequitur.
Cheese and crackers.
Wait. I swear I've seen the caption, flies buzz, far too many times during this episode.
Well, if you ever watch Netflix, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, if you ever watch Netflix with subtitles, somebody overuses the word chuckles.
It's chuckles or scoffs. Or scoffs is the one I always see and I hate.
Scoffs, chuckles and ominous music playing.
It wasn't scoffs, chuckles a comedian in the 40s?
Renowned for his blackface.
That's the one.
I'm now at the stage where I think I mentioned blackface in every podcast and I'm due to be cancelled. But I'm talking about how it's not acceptable.
Some people may suggest that your obsession with using it every single episode means that you have a secret desire to do it.
Well, I mean, I like that. It's a measure of our friendship that Laura and I have never mentioned the fact that you do every single podcast.
No, it's just something we brush aside. It's like we know what you're like. We're not going to talk about it. We like you too much to do that. We just hope that eventually you'll get help for it.
That's the one.
That's what it is.
Yeah. We don't encourage you. We just enable you because you have some good points.
It's because that I got help for it that I only talk about it now, rather than anyway.
Whatever you need to tell yourself, mate.
Is this the greatest single episode Doctor performance?
No.
Yeah, I kind of think it is because he does carry the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we're forgetting the twin dilemma.
Yes, with very good reason. I mean, we never really got to see Eccleston stretch himself to find out if he could have pulled it off. But Smith and Tennant, I don't think... Sorry, I'll rephrase that. It was a different time.
That way you only did one season?
Yeah. He blamed Noel Clark for it.
God!
What? If Christopher's listening, I apologise. But no, I don't think Smith or Tennant would have had the weight of performance.
God, imagine Tennant gunning through this.
Oh God, can you imagine?
Oh, no, can I not? I mean, I can, but I really don't want to.
Oh, you think you've got me on this island, do you? This is Tennant's English.
Tennant's English sounds like something you do after you've had about 8 cans of the stuff. They just popped up there. It's just in time. I just had this way that he said, "Do you think you've got me trapped in this island?" And he would say something about surrounded by schools, like mispronouncing school. I mean, David Tennant's listening, which I know he's not. Well, he might be because, you know, he's locked down and he's not doing anything else.
That's true.
And they're probably not doing a third season of Staged.
They're probably doing it right now.
So Tennant, if you're listening to this, I loved your role, but I mean, it was like pantomime.
It's one of those weird things, isn't it? You watch it first time round and you think, actually, no, the guy's okay, he's doing it. And I did love him as a doctor, but you watch it back over time and you see the flaws in the performance.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is the annoying, right? I really like David Tennant as an actor and other things, and I did enjoy his run as the Doctor, but I almost wish there's a parallel universe somewhere where David Tennant got that role and he wasn't a fan of the Doctor. He wasn't a fan of Doctor Who, and he walked into that role kind of blind and made it his own. I think the problem was that he paid too much lip service to what he thought he should do.
There was too much reverence. There was too much weight of history that he carried. He carried into it.
And then, you know, so he did this thing where he was being kind of, oh, check me, I'm quite cool. And he was, and he is the embodiment of what the short period of time where Doctor Who and cool was quite synonymous, right? So he did this thing. But there's also a point where he clearly gets quite cocky about it, and that's where things go wrong.
Yeah. Mm. I think maybe that's the thing with him. He got lifted by the role, maybe a little bit. Matt Smith didn't get lost in it quite so much. And Capaldi is sort of between the two. He carries the history.
The other way, Capaldi kind of walked in almost thinking, I might be a bit too kind of, oh, I've always wanted to be the Doctor, and was trying to be led. And then he kind of okay, here's an analogy for you. David Tennant's journey through Doctor Who is like the way I do stand-up comedy, right?
everything is like you doing stand-up comedy.
I don't want to watch an old man eating soup.
Well, tell John to switch his camera off then.
I don't want to watch an old man eating soup. That's why I'm still watching Game of Thrones in season 4. Close-ups of David Bradley going...
That was a very, very long episode.
Assuming that there were lots of lingering shots of David Bradley in Game of Thrones.
It was an entire episode.
And of course, at this point in this episode, all of the fans on Digital Spy were all speculating, oh yeah, this is definitely the Rani's TARDIS.
Was that where the thought went? I bet it was. I bet it was. You joke about these things, but...
I'm not going to lie, and I apologise to Katie for this, but I've been underwhelmed by Katie's questions thus far. Not the quality, but the actual quantity. It feels like she's only asked one question.
No, she has, but that's because I asked that one at the wrong time, so now I don't know when to ask the other one. Ah!
Well, there's Bird.
There we go. Right, here we go.
Bird got to do?
The Doctor...
A second-hand emotion.
The Doctor shouldn't have written Bird in the dust. He should have written Spade, because he would have got through that 100 times as hard diamond wall in a fraction of the time.
Because it's very difficult to smash through a diamond wall with a bird.
Yeah. So yep. I mean, unless obviously it's a really, really, really tough bird.
Let's also remember there would have to be an awful lot of them.
That's true. Well, maybe the flies evolved into birds. He was there long enough. And then the dinosaurs actually got him out.
So Capaldi should have called a spade a spade. No, he shouldn't have.
I get confused by that whole thing.
I don't even remember why he wrote bird.
No, I don't.
You remember saying...
Oh, okay. All I'm thinking now from that...
to see Clara soon.
That previous lingering shot of the whole tower in the sea was Fort Boyard.
Yeah, Leslie Joseph's there. That's why there are so many TV monitors.
Yeah.
Just so you can have the old...
Leslie Grantham,
I know, I said Leslie Joseph.
And I didn't notice, although, to be fair...
I did say Leslie Joseph.
You've never seen the pair of them in the same room, so, you know.
No. Weirdly, that's not the first time I've made that error. I've made that error between the two of them many times.
That would have improved the Christmas episode of EastEnders no end.
Oh, I've never noticed that weird shot of the Doctor and the skull being...
Oh, no.
...blended into each other before.
Yeah.
Almost like this.
How prescient.
I'm still waiting for Melinda Messenger to turn up and read a card and say, where do you want to go next?
Imagine if Melinda Messenger then became... Capaldi's companion for the next season.
That would have done an awful lot for the merchandise, I tell you. Actually, on that note, have you watched...
The twist is that she's partially partially an auton. And at the end of... No judgment.
But... some of my best friends are autons. Have either of you watched Partridge from last night yet?
Not yet, I'm way behind.
Ah, there's...
I haven't watched anything since knowing me, knowing you.
You're way behind. There's a cracking, very quick joke. Jacob Rees-Mogg used to have a poster of Margaret Thatcher on his wall. Well, ceiling. And then it just goes on, just ignores it. Absolutely brilliantly delivered. I think this is the best series yet. He's definitely really.
I'm just on line of duty. You know what I mean? I'm way back.
How far are you up to in line of duty at the moment?
I've just started season 6. So we've got already forgotten her name, even though we've talked about it before.
Ah, you've got DCI Kay McDonald's turned up.
Yes.
Well, you've made it through season 5, so well done you. Onwards with season 6.
Season 5 was great. I'm sorry, apologies to anyone from Liverpool last night. Whoops.
That's a lot of Yorick's.
Can I just toast it?
Oh, that was the other point, and actually it's a relevant point, having just seen that thing. That Vale lad, as Katie calls him, came awfully close to getting the Doctor several times. It's hard to believe it wasn't successful at least once. Which is a valid point. Because he does end up, like, hands around the ears several times, but just never quite goes the next step.
It's a hybrid. Don't mind me, I'm just going to stop you 4 billion times.
I mean, he's put the bloody sunglasses on in the dark again. Knock it off. Even I don't wear sunglasses in a darkened room, and I'm an idiot.
I mean, what could have happened here is the Doctor's Eye view, and it's very much a T-800's
yes.
view of...
Yeah, just there's lots
because of... that's the sound it makes.
Yep. And that's the big wall. This is where it all makes sense. The crossover to Game of Thrones we've all been waiting for. While you're away, you missed the third question.
Oh, what was it?
Why did she called him the Vale Lad, basically the Wraith Rider. Got so close.
The forums, man.
Got so close to getting him every time, but never quite did.
Let's start a conversation about a bird. Now, the reason it's bird in the sand and not spade.
Is.
I'm trying to time it.
Ah, okay. The suspense is killing me.
And then we'll go to the third question.
I do like the fact that at this point, all I can hear is a bird chirping on the chimney, coming up on the roof, coming down the chimney. Seems sort of pertinent.
But actually watching this now, gosh, this must be really uninteresting for the podcast. Also.
It really must. I'm waiting for Laura's, this point, moment. And I'm just waiting. I don't want to interrupt it. Lots of running around. I mean, there's an interesting parallel dramatically going round and round the TARDIS and going round and round the tower. The whole thing is just going round in circles.
It's almost like the director knew what they were doing.
I know. It's quite scary.
It's Rachel's Halliday. She's very good.
She is very good. Who played Clara, by the way?
Clara.
Yeah, Clara played by Clara.
No, it can't be. She's dead. She's left. She's gone. It can't be her.
Jenna Louise Coleman played Clara.
Is there a sport?
Just having your best work. Just look away.
I think that's Peter Capaldi in Clara's wig. Because you never see him in the same room together.
You constantly see them in the same room together.
Yes, beat it.
There's Clara. And she's dead. Maybe she's in her mind.
Imagine. Morgan, I think you've nailed it. That is imaginary Clara in the Doctor's mind.
Wow.
I mean, it's not... There you go. Who's playing Clara here?
Peter Capaldi, the wig.
Peter Capaldi.
Special mind.
Jenna Coleman, meanwhile, is playing Peter Capaldi.
But we can't see.
The reason, Cam.
Hello.
Katie.
Yes.
That the Doctor writes the word bird in the sand is because he doesn't have a lengthy anecdote about a spade.
Ah, that makes so much sense now.
It doesn't, like, it's one of the few things he doesn't have. He doesn't have a time where he went to B&Q, picked up a spade, and that story just happens to last the length of that corridor.
I mean, there are bank holiday weekends when it takes you that long to get served.
The Gallifrey branch of B&Q.
Yeah, I mean...
Of May Day.
Honestly, May Day bank holiday in Gallifrey's...
Not a member of staff in sight.
Nope.
Bunch of elderly just there, just trying to pick up compost.
Yep, the time lord.
Bags of cement. They wheeled a trolley into my leg, Clara.
Elderly people that happen to be younger than the young people. and also, there's some guy working in the paint section trying to create the perfect colour called Gallifrey Sunset.
Regeneration blue.
I mean, this is where you get annoyed, because Capaldi is playing the Doctor. The first time since it's been done since Sylvester McCoy, he's playing the Doctor as a Scottish person, and rather than punching it, he should have been headbutting.
Yes.
He should have been what we call.
I think that is a case of playing as Scotsman. This is the first time that the doctor tries to get out of things by not talking but punching.
The one time he resorts to violence.
I don't like it hurt.
Did you just say the doctor's deed in a very Scottish accent? Excellent, what are we teaching you? There's been a murder.
I like how Scottish Morgan gets when she's not talking German.
Yeah.
I am a Scottish German person.
Are you a German Scottish person?
No, I'm Scottish.
Oh, this is the Tia Andrew coming back online.
You're Scottish, German, Brazilian and Irish?
No, there is one more in here. I have to go away, John. And then the Doctor just lowers.
He looks a bit like... Oh, hello. Looks a bit like William Shatner there. Or John Pertwee. His acting is just so beautifully measured. It's not over the top. It's not gurning. It's not clowny. It's just... weighted perfectly.
Again, I think the reason that we've talked about this before, and the reason that this happens during Capaldi's era is, with all due respect to all the other people that played the role, probably the first person that could have carried it off.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of akin to, and you're going to love where this one goes, I'm going to draw a parallel now between Doctor Who and Motley Crue. That you can only do the best you can with what you've got. And Nikki Sixx, as the main songwriter of Motley Crue, wrote bang average, slightly crappy rock songs. But then he leaves. He goes and forms a new band in which he has an amazing drummer, a fantastic singer, and a blinding keyboard player and guitarist. And suddenly he's producing absolutely fantastic multi-layered mini rock operas, because he's then got the building blocks in place to do the thing that is actually happening in his head, whereas previously he just could only paint with three colours because that's all he had available. And that's kind of akin to this, that it suddenly grows and expands and becomes this new glorious thing because the person at the centre of it all can do what's asked.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So you're saying that if Colin Baker had been in a different show, he could have pulled this off. But because he was constrained by all the people around him in Doctor Who,
I'm not sure whether Colin Baker was constrained or whether the writers were constrained by Colin Baker. I'm not sure which way you want to swing that.
Well, we'll never know.
No.
Unless we start listening to Big Finish audios.
Did Motley Crue have a song called Change?
Time for Change, no. Yes.
They do have a song called Change.
I think it's called Time for Change on Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, and not a moment too soon.
Hey. Now it's time for change. Nothing stays the same. The lyrics are really good.
To sing on this because I thought that was like probably a copyright breach.
I was.
If you don't do it in tune,
no,
then you get away with it.
In no way does that count as singing.
I had to come up with my own original theme tune earlier on for Casey's questions.
Yeah. One. Because you're mimicking Vince Neil, who can't sing, so that already does it. And then it's me doing it, so you've got two people who can't sing.
I'm just gonna sporadically do the theme tune to Grange Hill, just to see if we breach any copyright.
I've been doing that burr, 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 on stream for a while. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
I haven't had a DMCA notice yet.
My review of Springsteen's new album from tail end of last year has now been hit with a copyright thingy.
Has it? Of course.
Very robotic.
Oh, it's very Terminator.
Static crack, like the worst.
Ooh.
Oh, I've just started off again.
Off we go. So if he's done what I think he's done, why doesn't the thing that would normally happen?
Too badly injured.
Yeah. Killed.
Ah.
Because everyone associates regeneration with dying, but it's supposed to be something that goes in place when you're almost dying and goes.
Oh, I see. So you don't die, you regenerate. Yeah. But if you die, you don't regenerate.
Which is why people find the one line in a Doctor Who TV movie that people find to be quite controversial is when basically Paul McGann alludes to the fact that he was dead for too long this time, and everyone goes, "Oh, he's not dead." I'm going
look,
back 1996. Internet forums are really an annoyance. I'm not going to write anything about this, but when the technology catches up,
I'm going to be really.
I'm going to fucking write about this.
Yeah, but if we've learned anything in the last week, there's nothing Doctor Who fans can't get upset about.
Mm.
Absolutely, that's why the Doctor Who TV movie is just a wonderful idea of time travel, and that while they were writing, I'm just kind of going, the internet can go quite crazy yet about stuff like half human dying,
yep.
Blah blah blah. We'll do it now because when the show comes back in 9 years' time,
they're going to really lose their shit.
Let's do it now.
Ooh, he's thinking. So now that makes sense. Now that bit makes sense.
It doesn't, though. But anyway, it's good.
How does Windows fix itself?
Well, Matey Boy had time to kill while he was waiting for the doctor to come back, so he just...
Oh, just go and change my clothes again, shall I?
Just put a new window in.
Yeah, is it not something to do with the way the kind of castle shifts around, that stuff repairs? Is there not another bit earlier on? Because I've not been watching. Is there not a bit earlier on where something had clearly changed or fixed itself or re-kind of set?
I know. I think it's Matey Boy. He's got time to kill, so he goes and puts the glass back in.
Deleted scenes.
Yep. Mixing the putty.
Okay, so queuing. You just make the point that this is the very definition of madness.
Yep.
Welcome to the House of Fun.
Meanwhile, Vale Lad is queuing in B&Q for his putty and his spade. He forgot it was a Sunday and it shut at 4.
All the getting out a little bit more of the story each time.
The Gallifreyan High Council are all out in force because they decided to have a barbecue.
Of course, the runtime for this being so long is basically because of this.
Yep. You could have had this as a 45-minute episode and got shot of an awful lot of this.
But it does need to make the point.
You could have done a whole season. Season 10.
Could have just been this. Yeah, but episode 4 would have just been eating soup.
It could have been.
What does the shepherd boy say? He says, "Can I buy a spade, please?"
Isn't that an old folk song? And the shepherd boy says,
"He gasped for ear."
With an E-I-O and an E-I-O. Pass me washboard, mother. I mean, surely at this point he just would have broken his fist.
Yeah, but it's a different him every time. So he probably is like breaking his fist.
Yeah, I mean, surely he's just kick
it. He's only broken that far into it, though. How's he managing to get so much more of the story out in that amount of time that the Vale's walking towards him?
I got no idea. It's a very, very. I think at this point the Vale is bored. He's, oh God, I got to go and kill him again.
Morgan's confused.
That's a normal state of affairs.
I'll explain to her after the episode because we need the entire length of a new podcast for me to try and get this later. So I'll do that offline.
If you would. Although that might be a conversation I need to join in with because I'm still trying to work out what the hell's going on. I mean, the Vale Boy gets even further and further into the tunnel as well. I mean, in the time it takes the Doctor to get back there again, why hasn't he bricked it up? He was in B&Q getting his window putty and his spade anyway.
But did they not highlight, again, you know, I've not been really watching that, I've just been talking nonsense. Did they not mention the fact that the kind of stuff that he's breaking through is unrelated to the rest of the... So I'm sure they talk about the fact that the castle resets, but this doesn't on account of the fact that it's technically not part of the...
Yes.
So I'm just going to make another comparison to the end of Cube with the big wall of light that the one survivor walks out to at the end of Cube.
Cube's a great film.
Cube is a great film. The sequel and the prequel, not so much. didn't see this one coming.
Oh, it turns out
we're in Sheffield.
Gallery all along. Again, there'll be no copyright breach there because nobody got that tune.
Nope, you're all good.
It's a good job you only introduced this confession doll this series, isn't it? Because otherwise that would make no sense.
That was rather handy.
It's a good job
it?
That came up at the start of the series.
And we all thought, what a stupid MacGuffin. And it turns out it was a point to it all along.
But it was one that they stretched out for longer.
And then a polar bear ran across in the background.
That's my impression of polar bear running, which again, nobody will see.
The joys of visual gags on a podcast. Mate, don't shout at him. He's just trying to sell you some lemonade.
Who are you? I don't know you. I don't know you, sir. I don't know you.
Please, sir.
I was told not to talk to strange men in deserts.
I would love if Capaldi was still in punching mode at this point. And he said, please, Sergeant.
Ah, there it is. The big place all along.
Oh, it looks a little bit like John Hammer there. That was weird.
Do you know what I'm going to put out there? I'd quite happily watch John Hammer in this role.
Do you know what? I was just thinking that. Equally, I've now got the idea of Peter Capaldi standing in the church reciting Stop All the Clocks, getting upset. Oh, wow. What an ending.
Hope they don't ruin it.
Yeah, dear listener, skip the bit at the start. That'd be my advice. That I've forgotten how convolutedly, what complicated and intertwined and twisty and actually quite good that episode was. I have to say that because Katie will kill me.
Oh, yeah.
But that is... Oh, next time. What happens next time? Ooh, oh, God. I forgot she came back.
Can I say my opinion? No. Okay, you can. As long as it conforms with ours, it's fine.
Yes, that's exactly the right thing to do. So, yes, that was surprisingly complicated and very good, wasn't it? Very dark.
Yeah.
Not just visually, but quite...
I mean, the Doctor only dies, like, 2 billion times in the episode.
Because, as you said, that when you work out what's going on, that skull falling into the lake is really morbid.
Yeah. But
more morbid than marshmallows.
Yeah, certainly. Had it just been 4 billion marshmallows, which is a Katie Melua song, I think.
as written by the bloke who gave me the wombles.
Yeah, it's one of the best episodes for a reason.
I mean, is that one of those that's widely regarded as one of the best?
Yeah.
What's its AI score?
Because, I mean, obviously there are some episodes which everyone's got an episode they think is better that no one else agrees with. Yeah.
I know, and there are still people out here that hate this episode.
Yeah, well, there are people who hate three-year-olds running around in a cardboard box waving a whisk. So, you know.
Christ.
Well, to be fair, so do I.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Hang on. So, I'm on IMDb.
Yep.
IMDb. Doctor Who on IMDb has a rating for the 2005 series, has a rating of 8.6.
Yep.
The 1963 series has a rating of... I refuse to load. Has a rating of 8.4.
Okay.
If you go into the IMDb top 100, like the top 100 films on IMDb, Shawshank Redemption has a 9.2. The IMDb rating for that episode is 9.6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That episode is better than the Shawshank Redemption.
And The Godfather, and The Dark Knight, and Godfather 2, and 12 Angry Men.
Yeah. Which, okay, interesting question. Could this episode have been made slightly better if he'd actually been punching his way through a sewer?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that would have made
The way to the sewer was through that portrait of Clara.
Harsh. Harsh.
Put up to hide the big hole behind the wall.
Just to put that into perspective for TV, ahead of it, okay, this is going in order from IMDb's top rated episodes. Breaking Bad Ozymandias is the best episode of anything ever, apparently. Breaking Bad Felina. Breaking Bad Face Off. Breaking Bad. Game of Thrones, The Reigns of Castamere is number 5. An episode of House, number 6, Breaking Bad. Episode of House, Spartacus. Another episode of Breaking Bad, number 11. Another episode of Breaking Bad. Episode 12, House. Episode 13, Breaking Bad. Episode 14 is an episode of Lost. Episode 15, Breaking Bad. 16, Breaking Bad. 17, Breaking Bad. 18, House. 19, House. 20, Breaking Bad. 21, Lost. 22, Dexter. 23 is the first Doctor Who.
There are
9.8. It's Blink.
Blink.
So it's not even the top rated episode of Doctor Who. It's the second.
Jesus, I don't understand.
On this list, it comes in the 30s.
And it's not even the top rated show featuring a Doctor.
No.
In fact, this episode comes below the Sherlock episode, The Reichenbach Fall.
I mean, I think
is that the last Moriarty episode?
Yeah.
Proper Moriarty episode.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the last Moriarty episode, but
No, the proper.
It is the proper ending. I mean, does that mean then we could possibly break the internet by having House play the Doctor in an episode where he's trapped in New Mexico having to make drugs.
The doctor's in a meth lab. Let's not beat around this a second. The doctor is in a meth lab.
I've got this. Hugh Laurie as the doctor in a meth lab in Westeros.
With a polar bear.
With a polar bear.
Just say after a plane crash, that'll do.
Polar bear serial killer with a sense of ethics. it's got to write itself.
That just takes care of everything, and we've just created the best TV show episode ever. But I mean, what was the general reaction at the time? What was sort of, how did fans react in the moment?
People like, wow.
It blew minds.
People were like, but basically, the general reaction was, that's one of the best episodes of anything I've ever seen anywhere. I bet they fuck it up next week.
So a standard...
That was basically what it was.
A standard Doctor Who reaction.
But there was a lot more... oh my God, it's Gallifrey. I can't wait for next week. I can't wait to see how they fuck it up.
But that my memory at the time is that was a real sit up and shit moment when you realise where he's come out. Yeah. That really did... That was a twist I did not see coming at the end of that episode.
No, I think they actually kept it really, really well hidden for once. Yeah. In terms of how the series finale was going to pan out. There were no, as far as I remember, there were no production shots, there were no leaks.
And also...
I think people may have guessed, I think somebody may have like posted, oh, look, they may have posted like a spoiler to the cast list or something.
Yeah, because there's a cast of three, basically.
For the next episode.
Gotcha.
There was actually a leak for the finale.
There was a leak for the finale.
There was a leak for the finale. You knew that Clara was back, and you also knew that the diner that they had previously used in another episode was going to make an appearance. But I feel like...
But no Gallifrey.
No Gallifrey, but there was an appearance. There was an appearance of Clara. Again, spoiler to anyone that's not seen this, but why are you listening to this podcast? And
that's a standalone question.
Imagine if there's anyone out there that hasn't seen a single episode of Doctor Who, isn't watching along with us, but just likes the way we sound.
Absolutely. Well, then if that's the case, then they've probably got no interest in spoilers either. So there's Clara making a reappearance in some way, shape, or form, which she also did in this episode, even though she's dead, and the reappearance of the diner from the Impossible Astronaut.
I mean, I do love the idea that someone who hates Doctor Who likes this podcast because it's got sod all to do with Doctor Who. But to go back to the episode quickly, I do like the fact that nothing was actually telegraphed. They do actually layer it. I know we weren't necessarily paying full attention, but they layered it nicely and just dropped you the clues. But there was no...
There was that one bit which you pointed out with the fade from the Doctor to the skull.
Yes.
Because it just happened to fit his head.
Yes. Exactly. But
And other than that, there's nothing there. Obviously, there's you do not know. Nobody can say that they saw that burnt hand at the start and
knew this is it. When that gets tied in, you do sit there and go, shit. And you realise then... Obviously, listeners to the podcast already know, thanks Morgan, that what he picks up.
I can't believe that.
That is brilliant. I mean, honestly, the one person who manages to do it's a sledge. whatever you do, don't let her anywhere near Empire Strikes Back. She'll ruin it for everyone.
More than David Prowse did.
Oh, yeah, you're a father.
Boyle? That's Welsh.
Yes, that's Welsh. Oh, man, a Welsh Darth Vader. That would have been absolutely fantastic. I can't do the accent because it goes horribly wrong and, you know, there'll be complaints. Right, so there we go. That was Heaven Thingied. That was a really nicely dark and twisted episode. That's absolutely fantastic. And it was
very, very, very good. And I would like to see more.
And I kind of like the fact that if you do watch the next week bit, the visual shift, the fact that they go from greys and blacks and only electric blue as the other real colour and the red button. They then switch it around to completely glorious orange, and although I guess they kind of telegraph that a little bit at the start, but you don't pick up on it because it starts where it ends. But you don't, because of everything else that happens in the middle, you don't immediately think what it could have been.
This is true.
Excellent. Look at that insight. You're happy. We didn't poop talk it.
Proper insight.
And we didn't poop talk it, so Kate will be happy. Right. That'll be it. I need to go and get some food, and I need alcohol. John doesn't. John's now staring at the screen while he's busy typing something.
That's something I'm going to say anyway.
But that was very funny. We'll put that on our Patreon account for all our subscribers.
Could still get cancelled on Patreon.
Right. We'll call that a day there. That was absolutely fantastic. And we shall reconvene for Get Bent on sometime in the week. In the meantime, over there, that has been Morgan and John. And over on the other side, gone off our camera, but I'm assuming she's still there. That's Laura.
Oh, I'm here.
And that's been us. That's been them. That's been you. And that's been Doctor Who. And we shall see you very soon. Goodbye.